we are in the midst of looking at what really affects the Christian life. Last night we're in the Revelation, which deals with hope. But tonight we're in the midst of living where we live, and day in and day out with one another. And there is nothing that is more trying and testing than to deal with one another. And this causes a great deal of problems with people. Some people run to live the Christian life and want to live in some kind of monastery. Others, just all kinds of problems and ways of handling problems. And God has given to us the greatest strength, and that is love. And we have looked at it from so many different ways and of what this love is. And so let's prepare ourselves and move into our study tonight. As far as prayer is concerned, please be in prayer. Remember, next week we will not have service here on Tuesday, Wednesday night. I'll be teaching in all 5 nights in Arkansas. So please be in prayer about that. My travel, health, their response, people that are coming. They're putting a big write-up in the paper in Conway, and so we'll just see what happens as far as the travel through Conway and Hot Springs and teaching. And so please bear that in mind in prayer. And so we will meet Sunday, and then we will meet the following Sunday, but not during the week. This Sunday is Communion Sunday. And so after we're through, a couple of guys will just help us bring in the well, the chairs are really started right back there, all we need. So we just set them up and get that done. And that'll be for Communion Sunday, and we'll continue our study in that. And does anybody have anything new to be in prayer? Let's continue to be in prayer for one another, as we saw last night how important that is. Right now we're getting ready to move into the text, and again, have a couple of visitors, and happy to have John back, and you back, and Christy with us tonight, so. If it wasn't for our visitors, man, we would be down low, so we appreciate y'all being here. Most dangerous thing you'll ever do in your Christian life is to open this book. There's nothing more dangerous than opening the Bible. And the reason for that is because people tend to open this book and study it either from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or from law perspective, or from human IQ, human understanding, all of which will never see the truth of Scripture. The only way that we can see Scripture and the truth that God has given is to allow His Spirit to take us into the text and to open our eyes. People think they can open this book and understand it. Cannot be done. You'll miss it every time. All we have to do is allow His Spirit to reveal it. This is why the Holy Spirit was sent, was to teach us. So let's spend a few moments in prayer to see if we are test ourselves, to see if we're trusting His Spirit to open our eyes, that we might see what God would have us to see tonight. When Scripture says that love envieth not, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray now as we move into this very dangerous area of life of opening the Scriptures. It is here, Heavenly Father, where we come so face to face with the reality that we cannot understand your Scriptures without the work of your Spirit. It is here, Father, where we see our total dependency on you. So many study the Scriptures and so few see the truth. So, Father, we pray that your Spirit now will open our eyes and our ears to see and hear what you would have us to see and hear. Father, we pray that you'll protect us from the powers of darkness that we seek to intrude on that. And Heavenly Father, that your Spirit will even squelch the flesh nature, which always seeks to raise its head and usurp the truth for its own advantage. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. For the benefit and out of the proper understanding of loving one another, where we are is that we are in the midst of studying the concept given to us in John 13, where Jesus Christ is getting ready to leave planet Earth. And just before he left planet Earth, he said, I'll give you a command, one command. In John 13, 34 and 35, he says, a new command I give to you. And here's the new command. And this is the command played all the way through the epistles to the church. A new command I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this, all will know that you're mine. Not by our creeds, not by the church we go to, not by how pious we act, not by our knowledge of doctrine, not by what we say, But if we have the love wherewith Christ has loved us. So many things that we've studied in this respect. It's interesting. We have lots of case on it. But one of the things that Christ did with this is that he upped the ante from the law. In the law, love one another as you love yourself. However, Christ upped the ante and he said, love one another as I have loved you. To love someone as you love yourself, you're occupied with yourself. You think about self. To love somebody as Christ loved you, we're commanded, therefore, to be occupied and think about him and how he loves. And so we call this love spiritual love. And we call it spiritual love because we stay with the word love because it is love. We call it spiritual love to distinguish it from the love that flows directly from God as divine love, or love that flows out of human being called human love. We call this spiritual love, one, because it can come only from a new spiritual creature, that is, from a born-again believer. We call it spiritual love because it can come only from the Holy Spirit, only by the Holy Spirit. This love that we're talking about is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is something that the Holy Spirit gives to us when we walk by faith in the Spirit. He gives us this. So often I hear Christians saying, oh, I love God and I love Jesus and I love this. Well, maybe they do or don't, but it is not something that the flesh can generate. The flesh does not desire this love. This is a love that can come only by the power of God the Holy Spirit. It is his fruit. Therefore, spiritual love. New spiritual creature, spiritual, comes from the Holy Spirit. And even being from a new spiritual creature, only when they are empowered, or what we'd simply call filled with the Holy Spirit, or by the Holy Spirit, that is walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. And then fourth, it has a spiritual impact. In other words, it impacts in the spiritual as well as all other realms, but it impacts in the spiritual realm. We've studied many things about this love. This is what God has given to us. So many people, when they build, or they think about marriage, what must happen between a man and a woman? Well, most people have the idea you have to trust one another in order for a successful marriage. And every time somebody tells me that, I just simply say, show me that in the Scriptures. That's all I want you to do. Show me in the Scriptures where you build a marriage on trust. Show me in the Scriptures where you build any human relationship on trust. Can't do it? I'll even be nice enough to say, show me where it's even implied. I'll accept that. If it's even implied that you build a relationship on trust with one another, it isn't there. In fact, I can show you a verse that says, cursed is man who trusteth in man. So, why not? Because when we trust, this is reserved for one person, and that is toward God, all members of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son for eternal life salvation, God the Holy Spirit for experience or sanctification or salvation. So, trust is directed toward God because God and God alone is trustworthy. And what is so important about this is that when you trust someone, you are totally humble. You have to give all that you are. So if you have a human being, husband and wife, and they're going to trust each other, you have turned over to that other person your strength. If we put our trust in God, he is our strength. If God doesn't perform, we are in great trouble. He is the only one who is trustworthy. So if you turn this relationship where either one puts their trust in the other, what happens when the other person breaks that trust? Well, we fall apart. How could you do that to me? How could this happen to me? Why would you do that to me? You've hurt me. You've let me down. And so often these people feel so sorry for themselves because the other person has broken their trust that they fall apart. They have to go get counseling and they have to get help and everybody feels sorry for them. Well, people, let me tell you something. You set yourself up. Whomever you give your trust to, you set yourself up for weakness or strength. This is why trust is directed toward God. Trust or faith by definition makes you, the one who is putting forth the trust, it makes you weak because you're turning your strength over to the object of your trust. By definition, it makes you weak. So why, this is the whole issue of the gospel. Why do a lot of people not want to have salvation simply by faith in Jesus Christ, faith alone and faith only? Because they want to be a part of the equation. They want to do something. Faith and trust, you do nothing. You recognize you can do nothing. You're totally dependent on that other person. So when we trust God, we are saying this is the point of being humble. What's an humble person? An humble person is a person who walks by faith, trusting God. Weakness. This is why Paul says he boasts of his weakness, because in his weakness he learns to trust God. If God did not give us trust to build a relationship on with one another, because it will make us weak and the slave of the other person in that sense, what did God give us? What God gave us was the love of His Holy Spirit, the spiritual love that we're in the midst of looking at. And if you have this love flowing through you, we're looking at all of the things that this love will do. How strong this love will make you. So that, for an example, let's get back to our text. 1 Corinthians 13 is where we are, and we're looking at the various impacts or effects of this love. So let's open the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 13. And we've already started in this realm in 1 Corinthians 13 with verse 4. Verses 1 through 3 is a life without love. If you want to see what a life without love is like, you can read verses 1 through 3. Oh, what a horrible thing that must be. Yes, it is. But the person in a life without love has everything, doing everything. He has all the gifts, and he gives all the money, and he knows all doctrine and all of this stuff. He does not have love. When you do not have love, you say nothing in the spiritual realm, you do nothing in the spiritual realm, and you are nothing in the spiritual realm. I don't care how much work you do. I don't care what a great preacher, deacon, church worker, how much you give. If it's not done in love, therefore done in the power of the Holy Spirit, you're nothing. But when we walk by faith in the Spirit and He pours in this love, look what this love does for you. The first thing it says is that this love is long-suffering. So this is what this love does. So what happens when somebody does hurt us, let's say our husband and wife? What happens when one or the other, and I won't pick on either one tonight, but when one or the other fails in a horrible way or a light way, what happens to the other person who's walking in the Spirit? If they're walking in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the love makes them long-suffering. What does that mean? It means that they take all of the hits and all of the wrong and all of these things, and they continue to love. Their love is not weakened in any way. Can trust do that? By definition, no. The moment trust has been broken, by definition of trust, it's not long-suffering. It's short. Just break it one time. You build a relationship on trust, one time, it's over. That's by definition of trust. Long-suffering of love, you just keep taking it, taking it, taking it, taking it. How many times do I take it, Lord? 70 times 7. You just take it. But He's given you, but He's given to us something that will take it in our soul, and that is this spiritual love. And since you're not reacting now, and since you're not falling apart, since you're not crying, since you're not going for counseling, since you're not going to get revenge, what now is able to come out of you? The second thing that it says in verse 4, love is kind. So what they're going to get is kindness. Yeah, but they don't deserve kindness. Look what they did to me. That's not the point. Or in a way, that is the point. That's not what they deserve. Did you get what you deserved at the cross? I didn't. I didn't get what I deserved at the cross. I got the kindness of God. So here they've done you wrong, and what they're going to get is kindness. Because love is kind. But before that kindness can come out, there's the long-suffering inside of the soul. So what we're beginning to see in this passage, we're looking at in 1 Corinthians 13 to 16, impacts or effects of spiritual love. And we're going to see how the first impact, not all the way through, but in the beginning, is inside your soul. It's something that happens inside. It creates an environment in your soul. What's the environment in your soul? Long-suffering. Therefore, what can come out? Kindness. Now we are at the next two, and we're getting ready to look at the next two. By the way, very quickly, why do we use the word impact or effect? Well, we studied how spiritual love is like a spiritual force, a dynamic, a spiritual dynamic, and it has all the ingredients of a force. It has, for an example, as a force, it has direction. A force has direction. Love is a force. It has direction. It also has magnitude. Magnitude is the measurability of love. No greater love hath any man. You must love me more than. So this is the magnitude of love. And then love has an impact, or a force has an impact or an effect, and so does spiritual love. Let's see if this fits. Direction. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That's the direction. All members of the human race. What's the magnitude of his love in John 3:16? He gave his son. He gave, there's a key word in love. Love gives, and it gives whatever is necessary. He gave his son. That's the magnitude of his love, the highest magnitude. What is the impact or the effect of God's love? Eternal life. Whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So life is the effect or the impact, and that's always the effect and impact of God's love, is life. It puts life into your life. So we're now looking at the impact or the effect. The direction is toward all other believers. First of all, now, in our study, we are looking at, in verse 4, love is not jealous. Okay, this is inside your soul. It's something going on inside of you. The world cannot see this. Just as the world cannot see long-suffering, they cannot see that love is not jealous. Let me also quickly, we did this last week, but just to bring us up to where we left off last week, and we just started this last week, the jealousy part. Love is these things. Please be sure you got that in your mind here. The subject of this passage is spiritual love. The subject is not you. You and I are not long-suffering. You and I are not kind. You and I are not jealous. Love is these things. The subject is love. Love is not these things. So, I want these things. What am I going to do? You got to concentrate on walking in the Spirit so He can pour this love inside of you. So, what does spiritual love do in respect to what we have, to what we are? Love doesn't brag. That's the outside. But right now we're looking, what does love do in respect to what others get, to what others have? Others are blessed, or they prosper, whatever the source may be. They have better children. They have a nicer looking wife. They have a nicer looking husband. They have more money. They are more successful. They do this. They do that. Lots of things happen in the body of Christ. And if you're in spiritual love, there's no jealousy. None whatsoever. It does not. Love is not jealous. In and of itself. It's unbelievable what God has given to us when He gave us the fruit of the Spirit of spiritual love. If you walk in the Spirit, and He will give it to you. It is just, if this is flowing through you, you will not be jealous of what others have. It will not bother you or disturb in any way whatsoever, because love is not jealous. So now Christians have a problem with, what about rewards in heaven? Well, I don't think that's really fair, that some people are going to have a lot of stuff and other people won't and all this kind of thing. In heaven, you're going to be perpetually in this state. And if you can just get a glimpse of it right now with a flesh nature, magnify that without the flesh nature, and you get a picture of this. Because in right now, if you will walk in the power of the Spirit and this love is flowing through, you're not jealous no matter what happens to anybody. Other preachers can be prospered, other people can be prospered, or have things, or get things, or win things, or whatever. Look this way, look that way. There's no jealousy if you're walking. And we spent some of our time last week, a very valuable point of time in it, and what is jealousy? You have to appreciate what jealousy is. What is it to be jealous? Well, what jealousy is, it is the immune system for the flesh person. In other words, the flesh feels threatened. The flesh hears somebody else being complimented, and the flesh says, wait a minute, and starts nudging you. They're getting complimented. They're getting something. You better protect yourself. You're in trouble. You need to be at the front. And so jealousy, yes, it's a sin, but let's understand what it's doing. It is the immune system. In other words, it wants to protect the flesh you. So when you're jealous, you know one thing. I'm in the flesh. I'm not in the Spirit. Nobody has to tell you. You can just know it immediately. When jealousy creeps its head through your soul, you can just say, well, I know where I am. I'm in the power of the flesh. I'm into the flesh, and the flesh feels threatened, and so that's where the jealousy comes from. And so you get back into the Spirit, spiritual love starts flowing through, and the jealousy is gone. So what does spiritual love do in respect to things that we have. It doesn't brag. What does it do in regard to what others have? It doesn't. It is not jealous. In respect to outside pressures and adversity, it's long-suffering. In respect to others who've hurt you, it's kind. In respect to what others have or what they are, it is not jealous. And for the sake of that we can go through this and build some understanding of this study, we're going to do this somewhat in an outline form in Roman numeral 1. The nature of jealousy, what is it about jealousy that causes love to reject it? This is the antigen. This is the enemy for your spiritual life, is jealousy. And so we want to look at this. And we've noted introduction last week. It is no accident that the next thing mentioned is that love is not jealous. And we spent some time in Proverbs and other places. Now tonight, point B, definition and description. What is jealousy? What is envy? Because it can be translated either way. It is a horrible eating away cancer. We saw this last week. It will eat in the picture of a cancer. This is a cancer that will just go to the bones and start rotting your bones. That's how horrible cancer is. Cancer has ruined so many people's lives. Oh, jealousy. It is something that they just cannot get rid of, will not get rid of. A lot of people enjoy the misery of jealousy. And because the flesh does. And so this is something that can just ruin your life. It's something that can ruin anything that the Lord would want to do with you. Can be wiped out. And we'll see examples of this. Can be wiped out by jealousy. Becoming jealous of someone or something else, someone else in the Christian life. And so we want to take a look at what is it. What is it about jealousy and envy that spiritual love rejects? What is the ugliness about it that spiritual love just refuses to have anything to do with? Spiritual love, people remember this, spiritual love creates an environment. First of all, it creates an environment in your own soul. You'll know when love is there. It creates an environment in your soul, and then it creates an environment in your periphery. This is what the world will see. What did Christ say? All will know that you are mine. Not by your creed. I'm a Christian. I'm this. I'm that. No. Well, look how wonderful and pure I am. Nope. No, it's by this, that you love one another as I have loved you. It creates an environment. It has a sound, and we've already studied that. The sound of love is kindness. What does the gospel sound like? It's kindness. And I hear Christians and preachers very harsh, very bitter, calling people losers, and all of this kind of thing. That's not the sound of love. And the gospel is the sound of love. The gospel is the sound, I'll do it. Just trust me. That's a beautiful sound. That's God's love. That's the way it sounds. So spiritual love creates an environment that the world can see, that others can see. But this part of it is inside. When jealousy is present, it's going to create an environment, first of all, in your soul, people. Just get this in your understanding. If you haven't already, most of you of the age, I think you know this already. Jealousy is going to create an environment in your soul, a very sick one. And sometimes we even hate it when we're jealous. We just hate it. We began to get into it in our society, puppy love, or maybe in a romance later on, and just all the things you imagine. It's so funny. Every male, and you know that's in quotes, not every single one, but every male has lost a girlfriend, regardless of the age. You know, she that night is with some guy driving a red Corvette, a red Corvette, has a boat, makes lots of money, fine health, great health, good tan, everything. And every guy that leaves a woman, he's out with some beautiful guy that's having a great time. It is amazing what our minds do to jealousy. What we can imagine and conjure up. And what way we just judge every little thing of what's going on. So it creates an environment in your soul. It's just the opposite of the environment of love. It is just the opposite of spiritual love. So we're going to look at what is the environment of jealousy and envy and different places that it's found. But wherever it's found in human life, wherever it's found, it's a very destructive thing to have going on in life. So, but it does create an environment. And you have to ask yourself, what is the environment that I create when I walk into a room? What is the environment? Because spiritual love creates an environment in the home, in the church, in life. What's the environment that I put forth? Okay, let's get up a few points here under B. One. Okay, it says love with the definite article. A, agape, translated be love, specifies this as spiritual love that we have spent our time on. This is spiritual love given by the Holy Spirit. So what do we learn right away? The subject is love. The subject is not you. You are not the subject. This is what love is. So if you want what love has, what are you going to do to get it? Boy, I really like that love is, I really like that long-suffering thing because that's what I'm not. So I've got to work on being long-suffering. No, you don't. And I know churches that have increased their congregations a lot by putting out about, I think the one over that just grew after he did this, the pastor by his own confession in Arlington said, he has about 25 ways you build long-suffering, 25 ways you build kindness, 25 ways you build... People, that is a lie. That is what humans do. Aristotle is a genius on doing that for you. You can't make this. If you like what love does, you can give it a cheap imitation. But if you want this, then what you want is to be walking in the Spirit and have Him pour this love in you. So we're talking about love. Love is the subject. So if you love what love does, and you want this in your life, you want this in your soul, how am I going to get it? Well, where does it come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. Well, then how can I get it from the Holy Spirit? What do I have to do to get this love from the Holy Spirit? Well, what did you have to do to get what Jesus Christ came to give us? Faith. You trusted Him. You believed in Christ. He gave you His work. As you received Him, walk. So if I want something that God, the Holy Spirit, has, how am I going to receive it? Trust Him, and He will pour it in your soul. I use the word pour from Romans chapter 5. Okay. So, point one, be love. Point two. Now, Paul here begins with the negative. This is our first negative. He uses the negative not. This is what love is not. Spiritual love is not jealous. Spiritual love is not envious. It is the property of love is that it is not jealous. The property of this love is what you see happening in your soul, and you will not see jealousy or envy with this love. It is not this. Spiritual love is not, continuing with the negative emphasis, spiritual love is not characterized by jealousy or envy. Someone says, I do this because I love you. Not! You know, we use that little slang, not. You know love, and love is not this. Well, I'm treating you this way and I'm doing this or that because I love you. Not! No, won't tell. You go give that to somebody else. Because I know what God's love looks like. And this love is not characterized by jealousy or envy. Jealousy or envy are not a property. I'm just wording it any way we can here. It'll click with each of us. Jealousy or envy are not a property of spiritual love. Spiritual love will simply not permit jealousy to enter into its domain. Jealousy or envy is very much a part, people. This is very important. It's a part of our natural being. It's a part of our natural being. One of the things we're going to see in the prehistoric world with Satan and God, remember there are three worlds at play. You always have to remember that. This is the prehistoric world before man. Here's our world. And here is this great creature, Lucifer, who will become Satan. And what is going to happen with Lucifer, and I'll show you some passages when we get to this point, he is jealous of God. He is jealous of what God has. So what do we know about Lucifer? He is in the flesh or arrogant. And the scripture is going to say this. Love, we'll talk about arrogance in a little bit. But right now we're just dealing with jealousy. That's how powerful this is. So jealousy and envy are very much a part of our natural being. Let me stay with me. Let me tell you something powerful here. How horrible of Satan being jealous of God. Well, what did man want? And by man, I mean Eve in the garden. What did Eve want? Because she represents all of us. This isn't a male-female thing. She represents, just as male Adam represents us all, she represents us all. And what was she, what was it that she wanted? Why did she eat of the fruit? Be like God. Be like God. Jealous of God. And I'll be like God. So you see what's happening here? We follow the same pattern. Right down here in the flesh. This is a characteristic of our natural being. That's why I said jealousy is what? It is the immune system. And we spent some time on the immune system. It is the immune system of the flesh. It wants to protect self. Remember that any immune system, the fundamental issue with any immune system is identification of self, of the body. Self. And so flesh represents self and represents when threatened, something's better, something's nicer, something's richer, something's better looking, something has more, whatever it is. Something is better on the athletic field, wherever we are in life. And the flesh self cannot help it. People, please understand that. Man can work at it, and that's where the counterfeit comes in. And people work on not being jealous, but it's part of the flesh nature to be jealous. I always like people with dogs. Well, I get so mad the dog does that. That's what dogs do. I'm sorry. You don't like the way your dog does this or that? The way your dog wants to smell everybody? The way your dog will just any time it wants to decide to take a leak? And well, that's a dog! Dogs do what dogs do! Don't expect it to be a human being! People get so proud of it. Oh, roll over, do this, do that. See, it's like a little human being. No, it's not. It's a dog. And have fun and enjoy it as a dog. Yeah, it may even mind better than some human beings. But it's still a dog. What? It's a flesh. Flesh is the old dog nature. It's going to do what it's going to do. And it's going to be jealous. And you work at it, in the secular world, in the non-Christian world, back in many Christian world, they still try to do it in the flesh. You work on that. Your parents teach you how to handle jealousy. You have good parents, they just got to work with you. And you just grow with their love, the best way it is with their love. And you just keep growing through it, and they teach you a little bit about it, and you learn about it. You learn about being jealous of this person who, even in little elementary, is better than you at something. And it hurts. And so the parent works you through, and you learn how to handle this. It's part of our nature. It's just a basic, fundamental part of who and what we are. That's one of the reasons God's love takes it out. You know, everything that we're going to study here, that love is not, and all these things, it's what the flesh is. And he's just showing us this is the answer to all of these things. So spiritual jealousy and envy are much part of our natural being. In our first birth in the flesh, which we keep with us as long as we're alive on planet Earth. We keep this. So we want to properly understand human love. We want to understand. This is why human love is built in this whole turmoil of jealousy. Human love can so quickly, so close to, we've all heard the line, the statement that love and hate are just so close. You know, one moment you're swearing and dying love, and the next moment you want to kill me with hate. And so, we want to judge. Either you really didn't love me, you hate me. You really didn't hate me, you love me. No, they go together. You got to understand what's going on. They're in the human flesh mode. So, this creates that environment in the flesh. Point three, now, the word for jealousy. The word for jealousy, we finally come to it. Zaloo. Zaloo. Okay, Z-A-L-O, long O. Everybody will deal with this. Zaloo. It's, actually we have a little here, so we'll get it a long E sound. yellow. This is the word. And Adam says something very important right at the very beginning. Love is not jealous. Does that sound like it's a noun when we say love is not jealous? Yeah. In English, that sounds like a noun. You have the subject verb in the antecedent or the predicate nominative, love is not jealous. Okay. Let me just help you out real quick. This is a verb. This is a verb. What was long suffering? It's a verb. What was kindness? It's a verb. What is jealousy? It's a verb. What we're talking about is action. Love is action. Love is action. You know, I was like the guy sitting on the couch with mustard on his t-shirt watching the game. You know I love you. I don't have to tell you. No, love acts. Love acts. Love is a force. It's a force. And what is a force? A force is a push-pull. Remember from your physics? It's a push-pull between two objects. It's not dormant. It's not dormant. It's an action. That's why this is an action. So this is a verb. Present, active, indicative, zelo'o. We have a verbal form. We do not even have a descriptive adjective. We do not have a qualifying noun. This is a verb. Just as we've said it all the way through. You don't see this all the way through. It's a verb. It's a verb. Why does Paul do that? Why does Paul give this a verb? Because he wants you to begin to grasp what this love is. It's this powerful spiritual force going on in your soul, the dynamic in the soul that is going to keep you alive in this horrible cosmic world we have to live in. It's going to keep you alive in respect of all the people around you, Christians, who will hurt you, sin against you, malign you, do all of these things. And what's love going to do? It's going to be long-suffering. It's going to be kind. It's not going to be jealous. It's an action of this love. So if you want to get a feel of the verb, it's the action of this love. That's why I put it in the verb. It's the action of spiritual love. Spiritual love is not stagnant. It is dynamic. And this is what is going to happen. So we have a negative action of love is that love is not jealous. Is not envious. So people, when that's in our soul, you can just know something. You know what? I'm not in the spirit. I'm not where I ought to be. I'm in the flesh. Because this is coming from the flesh because love does not allow this. Okay, point four, very important point. Point four, very important point. I want to get something very clear in our thinking about this love. Before I go any further, this is just our second hour in it, and before we go any further, before we even really define what envy or jealousy is, this is a major, to me, a major point that you will... I'll be saying it over and over. In fact, I've already said it tonight, but I want to make it a point for those of you that are taking notes so that you get it clear in your soul, so that we get this down in our soul. Now, you do not make a decision to be, but not to be jealous. That's the best way I know how to word it. You do not make a decision not to be jealous. You don't make that decision. You do not make a decision not to brag. It's coming up. You do not make a decision not to be arrogant. You do not make a decision not to act unbecomingly. These are things coming up in our study. You do not make a decision to not seek your own way. These are negative. You do not make a decision not to be provoked. You do not make a decision not to consider wrongs committed against you. You do not make a decision not to derive some happiness and evil. You don't make those decisions. I hope that's very clear. You do not make a decision not to be jealous. I do not like jealousy. I am not going to be jealous, and I'm going to work at not being jealous. You do not make that decision. You and I have one decision, and only one decision, that we have to make. And we want to make this very clear. You make one decision. And that decision is what? to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit and allow Him to do this for me. You cannot take away this jealousy in the flesh so as to be pleasing to God. If jealousy is there and you get rid of it in the flesh and you work at it real hard and you've taken all the classes in psychology and therapy and you've worked hard and you're working on not being jealous, I don't care if you master it. You've not made one point with God. That's flesh. Now, we're very happy for people in the flesh who overcome things. We're just really happy. They overcome alcohol. They overcome various problems in their life, and we're happy for them. But let's don't confuse that with pleasing God. That is not pleasing to God. They're no better off here before they started or afterwards if it's done in the flesh. That's a very difficult thing for people to understand when I say that. But you're nowhere pleasing God. Yeah, but I don't do this anymore. I don't steal anymore. You know, I don't have this lust anymore. I don't drink anymore. I'm not a kleppo anymore. Boy, it's really wonderful. I'm very proud of you. But people, you haven't pleased God. I know that's hard to understand. But you have not pleased God because you've done it in the flesh. You know what you are? The first chapters of Genesis, and remember they are there for a very important reason, because they set the flow through the whole Bible. You're like Cain. Here, let me offer you my very best. And here's my best. I broke this bad habit. I don't want your best. I do not want your best. I want what I give. That's what saved you. You didn't do anything to save yourself. Christ saved you. You received His salvation by faith. How are you going to get this? How are you not going to be jealous? Just trust me. I got to give it to you. I will give it to you freely if you just trust me. Where did you first see that? At the cross. Go back to the cross. How did I receive it at the cross? That's how you're going to receive it in life. People, you don't work for these things. You don't try to make them come about. You just simply, your decision is to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. That's your only decision. That's your obedience. What is the obedience God is? Well, the obedience is God doesn't want us to be jealous. No. The obedience that God is looking for is faith. You trust me. I'll do it. I'll do it. And that's what's pleasing to God. When God transforms our souls and our lives, that's what pleases God. When we allow Him to do it for us, that pleases Him in the spiritual realm. And that's what He wants to do. That's why He sent the Holy Spirit, dear people. That's why He sent the Spirit. What good is the Spirit if I can do it on my own and please Him? Do you understand that? Think your way through. If I can break this, if I can break being jealous without the Holy Spirit, without spiritual love, then what do I need the Spirit for? What do I need Him for? I can do this without Him. I don't need the Holy Spirit to break jealousy. I don't need spiritual love to break jealousy. I work at it real hard. I go to therapy. I go to these jealousy meetings. I don't know if they have them, but I go to these jealousy meetings and we sit around and we talk about jealousy. And we start off the class with, I am a jealous person. And then we work at it. We help each other. And I work hard, and I'm no longer tough. And I'm so proud of the way I work. Well, I'm happy for you, but don't try to offer that to God as some kind of an offering to Him. Because He's like with Cain. I don't want that. People, Cain is not a bad person in the sense of, you know, he didn't thump God, and he didn't run off from God, and he just didn't, you know, run to the honky-tonk. He offered God His very best. God said, I don't want your very best. I don't want it. I'm not impressed. I want what I have. My work, my spirit, my love. So what do you and I do? We make a decision about the Holy Spirit. You don't make a decision about jealousy. I think I've used the example and will continue to do so because Paul does and it communicates. We do not make a decision to be drunk. What did I just say? I'm going to be drunk. No. We don't make a decision to be drunk and become drunk. What is our decision? Our decision is about alcohol. I'm going to take the alcohol. The alcohol will do what it's designed to do. You don't make alcohol make you drunk. You don't make yourself drunk. The alcohol does. You made a decision about alcohol. It will do what it's designed to do. You drink enough of it and say, you know, I really don't want to be drunk. Sorry. Sorry. It's doing what it's supposed to do. And I am a jerk when I'm drunk. Fine. You're going to have to just be a jerk for a while. Because it's going to work. It's going to do what it's designed to do. Now, be not drunk with wine, but what? Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. What does that tell us? You don't make a decision not to be jealous. You make a decision to take in the Spirit. By faith, trust in the Spirit. The Spirit will do what it's supposed to do. The alcohol does what it's supposed to do. The Spirit does what it's supposed to do. He's supposed to do. And what is he supposed to do? Pour in love. And all of his fruit, but we're talking about love tonight. So you make a decision about the Holy Spirit. And I want to comment on that. Do you see what he's done? He's been God. He's brought us into a fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Let's say I work at it real hard. And I really work at not being jealous and do everything I'm supposed to do, working at it, and offer that to God. Have I come into any union with him in the process? No. I'm doing all of this for him, but I haven't come into union for him, with him. But look at the way God's designed it. It is the way he's designed it is, the moment you decide this is what you are, you go into union. It's like here, you come into union with him. Okay, I trust the Spirit, and now the Spirit and you are in union with each other. And the Spirit will do what it's designed to do inside of you. He will pour his fruit inside of you. And in the process, you're in union with the Spirit, who takes you to Jesus Christ, who takes you to God the Father. So in the process of taking care of jealousy, he formed what? A wonderful fellowship between you and all three members of the Godhead. Which sounds to you to be more right? Which sounds to you to be the way God's going to do this? See? How many men are there in the stories of men who work and work and work and work and work and just provide a beautiful home and beautiful cars and country club membership and all the rest for his family and all, doesn't even know them. Never saw his child grow up. Never had effective sexual relationship with his wife. Never had a romantic day with her, just doing something nice. But boy, did he provide. Did he work for him? Never with him. People, please understand God. He wants fellowship with you. Why he wants fellowship with me, I do not know. I do not know. I don't even like me sometimes. But he does. And that's what he's looking for. He is not looking for you to break jealousy. He is looking for you to come to him. And jealousy will get you there. What was the purpose of the law? The purpose of the law was to show that we couldn't do it and we became bigger sinners, and so we ran to him. We would run to him. The law is designed to increase sin. The law kills. So the more I try to live by the law, the more I see how horrible I am, the more I run to him. That's what these things are designed for. Not I'm going to work on it real hard like most religious people do. I'm going to work real hard on the law, and I'm going to work harder and harder and harder, and I'm going to work harder. Oh, jealousy came out today. Boy, I need to really work hard. No, you don't. That's just the opposite. You need to let go and totally relax and trust him. Not work harder. Let him do it. It's his love. He will get the glory. He gets the glory. And glory is a great issue here, and we study glory in the past in study. In the Bible, glory is the issue. Who gets the glory? He gets the glory. I'm sorry. You don't even get to share in it. It's his glory. You get the blessing. You're transformed into the image of Christ. Jealousy slowly taken out of your soul. Cleanses it of it. Point four, to me, is a crucial point. You do not make a decision not to be jealous. Oh boy, God hates jealousy. I will not be jealous. No, God hates jealousy. obviously with the Spirit. Because the Spirit is what is given to help combat that. Point five. The Greek word zoo comes from the root word zoo, which means, here's what it means now, it means to boil. It means to boil. It means to seize. Ever heard of seeing anybody seize? Some people give other people to seize just so they watch them. They do. They get their husband or wife, somebody to seize. Children do that with their parents. Boy, I can get my parents to seize. Watch this. It's a boring day. I think I'll go watch Dad seize. We can do it. Kids are great at it. We're all great at it. You just have to know which button. Some people have a harder button, but if you're around them enough, you know their button. And that's what this word means. Means to seethe or to boil. It is used for jealousy and envy because this is what happens to self. What happens to the flesh, the old man, the carnal you. Fundamental to jealousy is self. Me. Jealousy recognizes self, and when self seems threatened because others are prospered or apparently prospered or you think they prospered, self envies what others have. Or when self feels threatened that someone else is getting what belongs to self, self, the old man, the flesh, you, then becomes jealous. And it produces this jealousy. And this is where this comes from. It comes from inside of you. So the word translated is translated envy, it's translated jealousy. Now there are other words. I'm not going to spend time tonight, I want to move on. But if we were going to take the time, there are other words, translated jealousy and envy. Thanos is another word in the Greek translated in the New Testament, both jealousy and envy. And there's a slight difference in everything, but zoo, our word, jealousy. And we could spend some time in how in the Bible it's used in both a good way and it's used in a bad way. We're looking at it here in the bad way. But it does have, it can be used in a good way. Therefore, it's generally translated zeal. Zeal. And but we're looking at it from the bad way. So it's using a good sense, to strive, to desire. In other words, you may not be jealous of what someone has, but you're going to strive and you're going to you desire and strive and I'll use the word work and just to be whatever. You're not jealous of the way, just to pick a sport in this idea because it's easy to communicate there. It's not that you're jealous of the way someone else plays the game or sings or does something. It's just you aspire or you have a zeal for that. And so you really get to work on your own skills and you to perfect them. So that's the good way. But in ours, it is used in a bad sense. Point six. Where does it come from? Where does it come from? Zeal of jealousy rises from within. It starts from self. Identification of self. Please look with me at Mark. Matthew, Mark, chapter 7. Mark 7. Let's sit there for a moment. Mark 7. Okay, what I want to look at here with you is where does this come from? And what we're going to see is a very important point of Scripture. You know what man likes to say is this. You are what you eat. So the bad taken in, then that's what's going to happen. Scripture is just the opposite. Look with me at Mark 7, verse, well, I was going to say 22, but the sentence starts in verse 21, so we'll start from verse 21. Verse 20, Jesus Christ said. And he was saying, that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adultery, deeds of coveting, wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander or gossip, pride, foolishness. You notice in that list, we're all there. You know what really upsets some Christians? That in the same list with those big, bad sins, like fornication, are the little sins that they commit. Gossip, envy. There's no difference. I always like Christians to play this little sin game with God. Well, my sins aren't really bad. I'm not like Clinton. I'm not a bad person. Oh, I have a little gossip, but I have a little slack. Hey, read the text. You're just as bad. You break one, all of it. All of it. Don't play games with God, people. Be honest. I'm just as bad. My category aren't as bad as that person's, maybe. Maybe mine are a little more refined and a little more sociably acceptable because everybody likes gossip. So mine are a little better, a little more acceptable. Not to God. Not to God. People think I'm a little light on some of the big sins. No, I'm not. I'm real heavy on all sins. It breaks fellowship with God. Oh, well, now, you're not going to compare a little gossip on the phone with fornicating with some man or woman in the middle of the night. God does. In fact, God doesn't. You don't even have to do it. Just think it. People, let's not play games with sin. This is a little list, and there isn't one of us that isn't in here. So, just remember that. So, here's this. Envy, and where does it come from within? Verse 23, all these evil things proceed from within, and they are the things that defile the man. Come from within. So back to our point taking, where does this come from? It comes from within. It's part of our flesh nature. It's that part of me I don't like, but it's very real. This is my flesh nature. That's why I told you, anytime jealousy pops up, that's what you know. Oh, I'm in the flesh. That's what I really look like. See, what we want people to see is people, we want people to know us in Christ, His love. I know some of us are a little proud of various areas of our being, but we're ugly, if you're honest. We're ugly. We're all ugly. We want to be who we are in Christ, because in Christ, we're all beautiful. We're all wonderful. We're Christ-like. We don't want people to know. If I had a teenage class right now, the main thrust we'd be doing is, you don't want people to like you because you've got a great personality. You want people to like you because you're the best athlete or you're the prettiest girl. And then to like you because who you are in Christ. You want that love of Christ to draw people to you. That's what you want. So this envy comes from within. Awareness of the fact that others have something you don't, something that you've got, and that jealousy just comes up. You want this. You want what they have. You desire what they have. And that's where this comes from. Inside, it's our flesh nature. This is what we've been saved from. This is why we're given the Holy Spirit as we live now. So if we don't like something about ourselves and all of these things, let me tell you what. Walking in the Spirit and allowing this love to flow through, the Christ is going to take it out. That's what's going to happen. He does it supernaturally, free, grace by grace, just trusting. He'll give it to you. Now, what happens when you reach this point? You become like Christ. What is it to be transformed in the image of Christ? To love as Christ loved. And this becomes the most difficult thing to do, to love one another as I have loved you. Especially when they receive this and they're getting that and this is happening and I'm not getting it and they're good. And no, love doesn't even see all of that. People, He's giving you something that makes you so strong. He's giving you something that makes you so, so powerful. Don't get caught up in all of this improving yourself. Let's walk in the Spirit and let Him do it. If you see what's happening in Scripture. Any questions? I know I'm not that good, but let's go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our journey tonight has taken us right back to you again, because this is your love. This is a love that comes to us through your Spirit, and it's your love. It's the love that your Spirit gave to the humanity of Christ. It's the love your Spirit gives to us. And when we sit down and think about that a few moments, it's just an awesome thought that you would give us your love. That you would cause this vessel to come out of it, your love. What an amazing concept. What an amazing God. We praise you, Father. We pray, Father, that your Spirit would just continue to take us on this journey, the journey of transforming us into the image of Christ. And let's allow us, Heavenly Father, to let others know that we belong to Christ. Not because we say we do, but because we love one another as He has loved us. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.